Well, good morning and welcome back to the Broadcast Retirement Network. I'm Jeff Snyder, and this is BRN AM for Friday, November 13th, 2020. And here are our top stories. Should remote workers be taxed? And should employees be shareholders? Well, joining me now to discuss this and a lot more, Devin Banerjee is Senior Financial Services Editor for LinkedIn, and is also the editor of the This Week in Finance newsletter, of course, which you can find on the LinkedIn platform. Devin, welcome back to the program. Great to chat with you this morning.
Absolutely, Jeff. Always good to chat.
And I kind of chuckle when I introduced you, not because of you, but because of this next story around possibly taxing employees who work from home. All right, Devin, give us a skinny on this one.
Well, it's a story that's blown up both on the LinkedIn platform and in the finance community, because it's a research note out of Deutsche Bank, a very serious research note and actually well thought out. I'll go into some of their reasonings. And yes, the argument is that the act of working from home should possibly carry a tax to help support those workers right now and into the future whose jobs are under threat and who are not able to work from home. So what does this research note suggest? Well, it suggests a tax of 5% of a worker's salary if that worker chooses to work from home when they're not forced to work from home. It's important to note this tax would, you know, under the design of this tax plan at Deutsche Bank, the tax would be paid by employers, so not necessarily directly from the employees after tax pay or pre-tax pay even. But the tax would be on employers, which of course could lead to employers, you know, changing the pay scale for these employees who do work from home. And that income would go to workers who cannot work from home. Deutsche Bank expects or estimates that in the United States, if this were put in place, it could raise about $48 billion annually. And their argument, Jeff, is that those who are working from home are saving money, and they're paying less into the system by staying at home during the day. They're not paying into public transit. They're not, you know, eating out and buying their lunch from restaurants near the office. The real estate footprint of companies is shrinking. I mean, we are already seeing that, as a matter of fact. These people are also spending maybe less on clothing, on dry cleaning. So you add all those things up. And Deutsche Bank is saying that this 5% tax will really leave employees no worse off than if they were coming in to the office. Now, of course, there are many after reading the story who disagree with that, but that is Deutsche Bank's argument. And they're really pointing to these millions of workers, both here in the U.S. and really in every country around the world, who cannot work from home. We're talking about nurses and healthcare professionals, factory workers. So Luke Templeman, who was the author of this of this research note, says, quite simply, our economic system was not set up to allow people to disconnect from face-to-face interactions and face-to-face society. He says when that happens, there are many ripple effects and implications where money that is typically paid in to public service jobs and again to public transit and just paid into the system in general is not being paid in. And Deutsche Bank says now's the time to think about this, because they estimate, which we're already seeing, that most companies will allow at least some partial work from home going forward, even after this pandemic ends.
Well, definitely thought-provoking, Devin. And I have to ask, I would imagine that the reaction is all over the place on the LinkedIn platform. But do tell us, what are people saying about this?
Yeah, I'm just going to pull up a couple of comments that we featured. And actually, some people say, like you did, Jeff, that initially when they saw this headline and the story, they thought it was crazy. But then they read through some of the arguments. And basically what it comes down to is people realize that something does need to be done. Whether it's this policy, a 5% tax, of course, many do disagree with, but it is starting the conversation that with this K-shaped recovery that is already underway, where those who are doing well and were financially comfortable are doing even better and are in even better financial conditions, and those who were struggling are struggling even more, that something needs to be done to remedy that bifurcation. And also something needs to be done to help those who have to put themselves at risk during the course of this pandemic to go into work, to go do manual work, work with their hands, and aren't fortunate enough, like you and I are, to be able to conduct their work from home. So those are most of the comments we featured, people saying that this specific plan is not one that they agree with or would endorse, but it is starting the conversation that something needs to be done.
Well, look, I certainly agree. It's a thought-provoking piece. I haven't read the full piece. I just read the blurb or the article that LinkedIn had put out. So very thought-provoking. And look, Devin, we have talked about in other segments of the show with you and with others that when you work from home and you work in a different locale, we've already seen employers consider changing salaries. So maybe this isn't, you know, that is more private sector. This is a little bit more quasi-private public. Maybe that's not outside the realm of conversation. You know, I just wonder whether this has legs, and I guess a study would have to be done as to whether this is optimal. But what is clear, Devin, is that people, as you mentioned, restaurants, the cleaning services, people who are typically at businesses, around businesses, serving those businesses, if they have no customers, that is very difficult to overcome. But it probably also makes the case for more stimulus, like we've been talking, and also the reskilling that you and I have talked about over the past year.
Right, absolutely. That was another kind of bucket of comments we saw, which is let's focus on job creation, you know, on pivoting those jobs that are under threat, reskilling those folks, and finding what skills, what talents, what jobs are now in demand in this quote unquote new normal. So that's certainly an argument that we're seeing. We're also seeing people point to what you mentioned, Jeff, which is companies are already changing their pay scales for those who are moving away from high cost of living areas. Many in the tech industry are already considering that. And a couple of things I just want to note before we wrap up this segment. It is important to note that this Deutsche Bank kind of model would not apply to people who are self-employed, you know, if they're working at home, but they're self-employed. And it would not apply to those on low incomes. I think it's below $30,000 a year if they're working from home. It would also not apply during public health emergencies or if people are working from home for other medical reasons. But I just want to wrap up with a statement from Luke Templeman, who, as I said, was the author of this note at Deutsche Bank, because he has been getting a lot of feedback, as you can imagine. He says a lot of people are not impressed at the idea of another tax. He says he gets that. However, some see it as an interesting policy that governments can use to redistribute some of the gains from this pandemic that have been unexpectedly accrued by some people while others have lost out. So you can see underlying that statement is kind of this idea of the K-shaped recovery. And so, again, to your point, Jeff, I think this is just starting a conversation. I don't think anyone believes this is going to become policy in the United States or abroad, but it is starting a conversation about some ideas that we can start.
Yeah, and clearly it's stimulating conversation on the LinkedIn platform. I think it's great. I think we need to talk about how to help people who maybe are going through a transition or their businesses are significantly impacted or their jobs are significantly impacted. So credit to Lou and the folks at Deutsche Bank for doing that. Well, Devin, I want to take a quick break because we're going to shift from taxing work from home employees to whether or not employees should be shareholders of companies. You're going to want to stay tuned right here on BRN AM. Imagine a new television network that will make you richer, healthier, and in control of your financial future. This network is for the policewoman in Nashville, Tennessee, the baker in Dubuque, Iowa, the teacher in Lexington, Kentucky. We want to make the idea of savings and retirement culturally relevant. But what do you see as a defining issue of the midterms?
Especially for the smaller businesses, I mean, they are the lifeblood of the American economy.
featuring exclusive interviews, current affairs, and docuseries. 33 years old, you retired early.
The philosophy is money only matters if it helps you live a life that you love.
But you got to start thinking about retirement as soon as you get in.
The Broadcast Retirement Network will drive very high engagement with premium partnerships. So this isn't retirement and savings for your parents or grandparents. This is for all Americans. And we're going to change the way you think about money. Welcome to the next frontier of retirement and savings. This is BRN, the Broadcast Retirement Network.
Hi folks, Joe Namath here, and if you're on Medicare, this is important. You're now entitled to eliminate copays and get dental care, dentures, eyeglasses, prescription coverage, in-home aids, unlimited transportation, and home-delivered meals, all at no additional cost. Plus, your zip code may have coverage with the Give Back benefit that adds money back to your Social Security check every month. Look, with the uncertainty of the virus and vaccines, you need to get everything you're entitled to. Here's the bottom line. Call to get significant benefits at no additional cost and see if your zip code has coverage with the Give Back benefit. Millions of people have trusted the Medicare Coverage Helpline. You can too. Call now. It's free.
Call 1-800-924-3920. That's 1-800-924-3920.
Welcome back. We're talking this morning with Devin Banerjee of LinkedIn. Devin, thanks as always for staying with us again this morning.
Absolutely, Jeff. Happy to.
So let's shift from taxing employees who work from home. Let's talk about another idea which is actually being implemented, which is, should employees be shareholders of the companies for which they work? What can you tell us about this?
It's a fascinating model, Jeff. Of course, it's one that is in place in some companies, publicly traded companies, large companies that have restricted stock units or startups as well that issue stock options to employees. But there is this large group of companies in the middle there that don't empower their employees as owners in the company. And a big group of those are privately held companies that may be private equity owned. If you think about the private equity business, Jeff, when a private equity fund acquires a company, they often incentivize the top management levels of that company, say maybe roughly 20 to 30 executives, with private shares in that company so that management team is incentivized to either turn it around or improve operations. And then, of course, they all exit when the private equity fund takes that company public or sells it to a strategic company or to another private equity fund, what have you. But there are often thousands of employees, maybe tens of thousands of employees, who are just taken from private equity owner to private equity owner without participating in those gains on the equity during each ownership. So private equity firm KKR, which of course is one of the most well-known private equity firms, one of the oldest as well, founded in 1976, started trying out this model with companies in its industrials portfolio, so industrial manufacturers and others like that, back in 2011. And they've started talking about it more because now they have about a decade of data and results on what that model has done for performance and productivity and culture at their companies. So I'm highlighting this story, Jeff, because just earlier this morning, we're recording this on Thursday for full disclosure, I hosted Pete Stavros of KKR on our show at LinkedIn News Live, and he's really the architect of this model. And so I just want to bring some takeaways from him. So KKR now has implemented this program at 8 of its industrial companies. These companies have granted about $500 million worth of stock to their employees. And the stock has gone to non-management employees, more than 20,000 non-management workers. Most recently, KKR's portfolio company called Ingersoll Rand issued about $150 million worth of stock to its 16,000 employees. That was about 2 months ago in September. And it's important to note this stock is on top of the usual pay of employees. And in some cases, and actually with Ingersoll Rand's predecessor company, Gardner Denver, the stock at the time was about 20% of workers' pay, but because of the appreciation of that stock as the company's performance has improved, it's now about 100% of workers' pay. They're effectively getting an additional entire salary in stock. And so KKR and Ingersoll Rand CEO Vicente Reynal, who also joined us on the show, have really pointed to, again, productivity gains. If you think about an employee who is now incentivized financially to improve the things he or she sees around them, we heard from Vicente that employees have come up to him saying, look, I want to move closer to the factory because I'm a manager. And before I was just checking in on the factory workers a couple days a week and working at the office the other days in the week. But now I see productivity gains that I can drive if I'm closer to the factory. Pete Stavros has shared a story about CHI Overhead Doors, which is a garage door manufacturer that KKR owns. And the routes, the delivery routes that the drivers were doing were sometimes totally out of whack, totally inefficient routes. They might drive hundreds of miles to deliver one door, go back to the factory or the source of the doors, and then do another route when they could combine routes and improve efficiency. So suddenly employees are feeling incentivized to improve what they see around them. And this is a really interesting an interesting model, Jeff. I mean, they're seeing financial performance above what they would see otherwise in other parts of their portfolio. And now they're trying to roll this model out to more companies that they own.
Well, Devin, I mean, it certainly gives private equity, and I'm not saying it's justified, but sometimes has a negative rap. We've heard different stories. This seems to kind of flip the model, or does flip the model on its head, and possibly could change public opinion. I know, you know, if you have access to an employee stock purchase plan, or you can buy stock in within your 401k, or if you're part of a mutually held insurance company, for example, you're a policyholder, a lot of this really brings you into, we talk about culture, we talk about being a part of something, you feel like you're a part of something. And I'm wondering, Devin, what the reaction is from people to the story, the interview that you did, and what the posts are on LinkedIn.
Yeah, we had one of the most engaged audiences this morning on that show that we've ever had on that show, Jeff. And it's really, again, because it's pushing the envelope, and it's one of those win-win situations. I mean, if you think about it, my question to KKR has always been, why do this? You're expanding the equity plan, and you're diluting yourselves, you know, shareholders of the company as well, because you're allowing so many other owners in. But their argument is that over time, over a couple of years, the performance of that company improves such that everyone's equity is worth more. So that's really what we're seeing in the reactions, in the comments, and the members who are sharing that interview, because again, it's pushing the envelope. And you're right that private equity does get a bad rap. Pete Stavros, who, as I said, is the architect of this model at KKR, he readily admits that that this is something that certainly is improving their reputation, but he doesn't think that's the reason that KKR is doing it, and he doesn't believe that's the reason he's doing it. He sees this as a win-win, as a financial incentive. I mean, they are fiduciaries, of course, to their limited partners, the pension funds, the endowments, the foundations, the wealthy investors who give them their money to invest and expect the highest risk-adjusted return in return. And so there's no way they can do this if they weren't proving and delivering those higher financial returns because of it.
Well, it just goes to show you that good ideas come from a lot of different places. And if everyone is rowing in the same direction, you can have positive results for not only the company, but also the investors, shareholders, et cetera. Well, Devin, we're going to leave it there. Always a pleasure chatting with you. Really appreciate the excellent insight and analysis. And we look forward to, of course, talking to you again very soon. Have a great rest of your day and a great week.
Thanks, Jeff. Take care.
And that wraps up this episode of BRN AM. Have a topic of interest or somebody you think we should talk to? Drop us a line. And don't forget, for all the news in retirement markets, technology, personal finance, so much more, check out our daily newsletter, The Morning Pulse. Don't forget, we're back again tomorrow for our weekly retrospective show, BRN Weekly. We've got another very special guest. So until then, I'm Jeff Snyder. Stay safe, keep on saving, and don't forget, roll with the changes.
Are you being audited and do you owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes? Is the IRS threatening to take more of your money? Don't fight the IRS alone. The Tax Doctor is here to help you negotiate your tax bill and reduce your stress. The IRS can freeze your assets and seize your bank accounts, but you can stop these IRS actions. The Tax Doctor will work with you using our years of experience to represent your case to help you get the best resolution under the IRS guidelines. Help is here to deal with the IRS to reduce your stress. We've handled thousands of cases, so we know what we're doing. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, do not call the IRS alone. Call a Tax Doctor now for a tax emergency analysis.
Call 800-224-6439.